5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron, here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. That's a busy show so far. Still more to come. We got Jesse Kurtz going to join us from the Mountain West Network. His thoughts on the weekend that was in the conference and looking forward at some of the interesting, more interesting matchups for the Mountain West. So that'll be fun to talk to him. Obviously, we are building up this game. Not that we need to build it up. It's already there. See you in Nebraska. Matt Rhule. I don't know. I've heard some people say Matt Rhule was kind of critical of the primetime hire over the summer and stuff and talked about. I couldn't find any of those clips, Angel, but this is what Matt Rhule had to say about primetime, about the Colorado Buffs with Coach Prime leading the charge.
He's won in everything he's done in football. He's won as a player. He's won as a coach. So I think everyone maybe thinks, like, outside, not me, everyone else thinks, like, well, this is all a show, and he's the most serious person about football. Like, his poster was on people's walls for a reason as a player, because he's one of the hardest practicing, hardest playing people that's ever played the game, right? So why would we think that his team wouldn't be the same? You know, CJ White's on our staff, was a strength coach for him. He told us, like, early on, like, let me tell you how they're going to practice. Let me tell you what they're going to do. So the utmost respect for Coach Sanders. Like, when he was the head coach of Trinity Christian, I recruited Quaylen Jones out of there. He's a football guy. Like, he's like all the other stuff, the commercials and all those things, those are extra things you get to do when you're elite at football. But, I'm not surprised at all. You know, I mean, I think everything he's ever done in football, he's been successful at, and so he's being successful here already.
Genuine? I don't know. I just sounded weird.
It sounded fairly genuine to me.
Eh. Some people, not me, think that, you know.
Well, I mean, he's addressing this, the persona that is primetime and Deion Sanders, and recognizing the impact that he, as a player, as a network person, as a coach, whichever, he is impacting different, you know, different lives in different ways, and he's been successful at it. So, I liked his point, you know, why would we expect his team not to be that way? When he is that way, why would you not expect the team to follow that? So I think he's just giving him his respect. And like you said, you know, we all had a poster of Deion Sanders in our room. I didn't, but a lot of people did.
Well, yeah, he would have been, I think he played for the Ravens, came back and played for the Ravens when you were probably watching.
Yeah, no.
That was like the last stint for him. It was like the Jordan Wizards thing.
I didn't even know him on TV, so this is my introduction to Deion Sanders.
But you know, like, historic players. How do you not know Deion Sanders?
I know him. I know what primetime was and all. I didn't watch it when he was playing. I didn't watch him when he was on air. So, you know, I never got that personality. So this is kind of my first seeing him, who he is, and it's different.
I think there's a lot more meat and potatoes to what primetime is. And I think that originally the thought was, this guy talks a lot and he's all about sunglasses and Louis and jewelry and watches and fancy vehicles and suave and all that stuff. And he is those things. But there's also, like, there's a lot of stuff to it. There's a lot of real football knowledge that he can teach some kids. And I think there's a lot of life lessons that he's teaching guys too. Now, I don't know that. This is just my assessment. It's kind of like, you're going to like this one, Angel. Bruce Wayne and Batman. Now, he does have two personas, and some people think that's annoying. But there is the Bruce Wayne that's on the cover, and he's a fake. And he's like, I'm going to the parties, and I'm doing all the things, and I'm the billionaire, and I've got to, as Sean Payton say, I got to shake hands and kiss babies. I got to do all those things, but that's not who I am at all. Deep down, I'm Batman who goes to work every single night and just fights crime. Primetime is Bruce Wayne Batman. That's the best way I can put it. He's got another persona that is flashy and is supposed to put attention over here. Meanwhile, this is what's really happening. deep into this program.
See, and I hear that and I can recognize it. I have a hard time seeing it all the time.
And that's the thing. I don't think he wants you to see it all the time. I don't think that's part of the plan here, because that's not sexy to promote that. I go up to Billy and tell him he's doing a good job. That's not sexy to promote that.
I just wonder what is getting these kids to go to coach. Is it just the coach? Is it the name? Is it, oh, this guy could get me connections in the NFL?
All of it.
Can it be all of it?
I think that's what's going on right now.
Is all of it the right reasons?
Why did Travis Hunter go follow Prime? That guy could have went anywhere. And it's not just because he didn't watch him. He didn't watch him growing up. He knew his name. Kids play Madden now, and Primetime's a player. You can get on those little muck games and stuff that you do. There's something about the way he talks to parents, too. And keep in mind, parents are the ones that they've got influence on where their kids are going. But outside of, okay, you intercepted a lot of passes and ran for and scored touchdowns on kick return, and your average was like almost 300 in Major League Baseball. I mean, you're a Hall of Famer. But then when he sits down and actually has to talk to people, that those conversations are deeper than Primetime. And I truly believe that he is good for the game. I don't. The main thing I have an issue with, like, I didn't have that big of an issue with the Louis Vuitton. I didn't. That happens with every coach. I just don't have that big of an issue with it. He's being honest. And it's for all of us to see. Now, did those kids want to be on those videos? I don't know. Probably not. It's one thing to put them in videos where they're all highlights and rocking. But that video of his opening press conference, you were putting a lot of kids on there. Basically, most of those kids were going to leave the program. So that part was a little weird. I don't have that much energy on it. I don't like the receipts thing. I think it's getting overdone. I'm taking receipts. Anybody that picks against... So if anybody, even if you're a Buffs fan and you pick against the Buffs this weekend, which I don't think those two things exist, but you're going to... You're now on a receipt because you picked a football game? You are now enemy number one?
Well, it's this his presentation of, I'm doing things differently and we're changing up college football and we're not doing it the same old way. As if the same old way doesn't work. It does. Bama, Georgia, Ohio State have been doing it for years.
Well, somebody's
going
to win. Yeah, somebody's going to win.
So,
but it ain't the same old way in CU.
Well, it when you present it in with the ambiance and the extravagance of how he presents himself, it comes off as, you're with me, and if you're not with me, you are against me 100%.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And that is sports. When you put yourself out there like that, people are going to target you because, okay, you're in a better spot than me. I want to be in your spot. I want to be the best football player. I want to be the best coach. I got to beat you to do that.
Here's what Primetime had to say. And I thought this was pretty well said. And again, is it genuine? Here's what Primetime had to say about Matt Rhule.
You will, Coach. You know, I do admire their coach tremendously. I mean, what he did at Baylor, I know things didn't go the way they desired them to go. Carolina, but just that opportunity and doing what he did is something that some aspire. I don't aspire to go to the NFL, but some aspire to go to. But I like him. He's done a phenomenal job with that team and trying to get them in the right direction. They play hard. They play tough. They're physical. They dot I's and cross T's. And trust me, they're not going to lay down in any means. They're going to come in here and be prepared for a dogfight. They know the athleticism that we feature and what we come to the table with. So it should be a tough game. And I think we may have a couple of players that played for me once that's on that team as well.
They're playing nice right now. Nobody's giving anybody bulletin board material.
Yeah, I question if that's genuine.
I don't think either of them are genuine.
Like, when I hear him talk, I'm like waiting for the joke.
He's more...
Yeah, but... like.
See, I think Primetime is more the guy that's doesn't care. He would just come out and say whatever. But
that's my issue is I can't differentiate between Deion Sanders, Coach Deion Sanders, and Primetime.
I think that was I think that was a genuine thing. I think if you don't get in his crosshairs, he's not going to lambast you. He's not. Matt Rhule didn't. This is rivalry week. Come on, coach.
The comments on both of these videos are just so polarizing. Because under the Matt Rhule stuff, you'll see like a few, okay, that's a good thing, class act, nice, respectful, whatever. And then a lot of it's, oh, you can't backtrack now. Oh, you're scared of
what?
And then you go to the Deion thing, and it's, oh, this is the greatest thing anyone's ever said, ever.
I personally would like them not to compliment each other at all.
I think there's a base level of respect as a professional, but
I'm sure they do have that for each other, but I'd rather them just be like, hey, you know, Matt Rhule's a coach of a football team, and we're going to go up against that team that's our rivalry, and we're going
to
hate him.
Rival anything else.
Nah,
to add.
It's true. There's
hey,
no
this
bulletin.
Is what your coach, this is what their coach said about you guys, not just me, but you.
Neither one given bulletin board material. I can't find it, Angel, but I thought Matt Rhule was like kind of at the beginning of this whole thing. I thought he said something like, this is an interesting thing about primetime going to the Buffalo. I can't find it.
All he said was it's interesting.
I don't know what it is. I can't find it. I know that a lot of people are saying he's backtracking because he did say something that wasn't the most positive. I'm not saying it was the most negative either. But we got a break. 17 minutes after the hour. Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, coming up next. Mountain West, some more opportunities out in front of them this weekend. And we'll talk to Jesse about all of that. Get his thoughts on Colorado State and Wyoming. Wyoming wins in double overtime against Texas Tech, and Colorado State, oof, ouch, that was a rough one. We'll talk to Jesse next. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Wow. 23 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network, Jesse Kurtz. Always love this segment, one of my favorite segments, because I love talking Mountain West football. And Jesse, I got to start this thing off with those Wyoming Cowboys. I mean, my goodness, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game. I was coming home from the CSU game, and that overtime, I mean, Andrew Peasley, this guy is, he is tough as nails, Jesse.
Listen, you saw all you needed to see then. Mm. If you missed the first part of it, then consider yourself lucky. I mean, they're the first team in league history to fall behind 17-0 in the first quarter and come back and win.
Wow.
And what the way that they did it just started chipping away at it with that John Hoyland field goal that kind of started it from 56 yards out and kind of made you start to believe that, okay, maybe they're going to dig themselves out of this hole. And then what Andrew Peasley did in overtime was remarkable. Standing in there in the pocket on a fourth down, took a direct hit but fires a strike to keep Wyoming in it, and then the two-point conversion send that place into pandemonium. I'll tell you, there are few places in the western half of the United States that is as electric of an atmosphere at that size when that team is playing that way. I mean, look what they did against Missouri. Look what they did this last weekend against Texas Tech. I saw where a Texas Tech Barstool account tweeted at Wyoming saying something of the effect that we underestimated how great that atmosphere would be. And I think that's probably, if you ask people who have not seen a game there, they probably would underestimate it, and shame on them for doing that, because that place blew the lid off of it for all the right reasons, and it was fun to see.
Well, and speaking of underestimating this team, now I do my picks on Friday, Jesse, and I said, hey, I think Wyoming's going to be a really good team this year, but I don't see them covering 14 against Texas Tech. And oh my, I sound like a liar here, Jesse, but I like to be wrong sometimes. This is one of those cases.
Well, I like when you're wrong in this instance as well. coming into the season, I thought that Wyoming would be one of those surprise teams. You don't know how all it was going to play out and how much of a surprise they truly would be. And did I think that they might get Texas Tech? Eh, I'd be lying if I said that they had a better than a puncher's chance, but you know, when they've got those gritty kids and Craig Bohl always finds a way, when they lost a starting running back, that kind of compounded the, well, maybe this not, but the defense is going to be great all year. And Andrew Peasley, if you don't know this, he's a new dad. He's no longer just playing for Andrew Peasley and teammates. He's got a child that he's trying to impress as well. And wants them to be out there to watch dad do his thing. So to see them do that is pretty cool. And, you know, they've got Texas looming here in a couple of weeks. They're going down to Austin. So they'll be tested again. And then they have App State as well. That's a heck of a non-conference slate that Craig Bohl has put together. If they go 3-1 with wins over Texas Tech, they got Portland State this week, should get that one. And then they're able to get App State at home. They go 3-1 with that non-conference schedule. That's pretty darn good.
No, Jesse, like you said, they got to get past Portland State, though, right? Sorry, 81 points, though. That's yikes.
Yeah, I've read, and our own Bridget Howard is going to be on that game as the sideline reporter. So she's talked to the head coach up there, and they're licking their wounds. He understands why they play games like this, and it's not because they really believe they can go in there and win. Look, every coach, you don't go in a game without thinking, hey, we got a shot here. But he admitted that we got to play these games to build a program. So you're going into those games knowing that it's going to be an uphill battle. They certainly know it'll be an uphill battle, especially after what the Cowboys did to Texas Tech this last weekend.
Jesse Kurtz joining us, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network. Where I was on Saturday, why I didn't get to watch most of that Wyoming game, I was at Canvas Stadium in Fort Collins watching Colorado State and Washington State. And boy, that was a disappointing shot there. I still believe in Norvell and Matt Mumme. I'm very hopeful for this season to be kind of a turnaround year for the Rams, but that was a tough one to swallow. I do think Washington State's better than a lot of people are giving them credit for, though.
Agree with everything you just said there. And first and foremost, disappointed as an alum. I thought they'd be in that game a little bit more than they were. And frankly, when it was, 17-3 at half, it could have been a whole lot worse than that, right? And obviously the final score wasn't as bad as it looked like it might be midway through the third quarter. But I, like you, I'm still all in on everything that they're doing. I think that was a couple of things. One, CSU a little bit overmatched, and I think it was a product of me and maybe others who were in my camp underestimating how good Washington State really is going to be this year. Look, that offense was super good. Quarterback was super good. Wide receivers did an excellent job of finding space, especially on third down. It seemed like Colorado State could not get off the field on third down. Really good on first and second down, and then third and five, third and eight, third and 12. Could not get off the field. And any time, you know, one, it's demoralizing, but two, it exhausts the defense. You know, you think that you are a play away from getting off the field, and then there's a fresh set of downs. And then you do it again, and then there's a fresh set of downs. It's a long time to be out there against the speed with which the Cougars ran their offense. Hats off to them. They were really, really good, and I would not be shocked if they're not in the Pac-12 race right up to the end, along with Oregon State, who clearly was a buzzsaw in San Jose. So I agree with you. I'm still there with what Colorado State is doing, what they're building. It's going to take time. I thought maybe they would be further along than they were in week one, but credit to Washington State. That was a darn good football team up there.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what I think they got Wisconsin this weekend, so that'll be interesting to see what Washington State does there. Fresno State gets the win over the weekend, too, beating Purdue 39-35, another close game.
Yeah, time for overreaction Wednesday, right? I think this is the best team. This is the best team in the Mountain West. And all you needed to see, and the one thing that you wondered about with Fresno State, look, they have a really good defense returning. Lavelle Bailey leading that defense. They'll be really good. The receivers, led by Eric Brooks, going to be better than average. They'll be good. You just didn't know. You lose an all-timer in Jake Haener, who was as good of a leader as they've had since Derek Carr, and you say, yeah, who's going to be the quarterback? And they bring in Mikey Keene, who was a good quarterback at UCF, you say, okay, with Jeff Tedford's teaching, he's as good of a quarterback's coach as you're going to find in the country. His pedigree speaks for itself. If Mikey Keene could be the guy there, then maybe Fresno State could be right back in the thick of things as a Mountain West champion, and all he does is go out there and throw for 366 yards and four touchdowns and picked apart the Boilermaker defense. So Fresno State with a shot heard around the Mountain West type of win, that the champions aren't going to go quietly here, and Mikey Keene will be the guy that leads that team here in 2023.
And you lose one great quarterback, and then you get another one coming in. Fresno State, yeah, they should be fun to watch all season. And then, Jesse, the surprise of the country was that Air Force ran the football like crazy and won big. Maybe not such a surprise.
You know what's the bigger surprise? Is Air Force, for the first time in 20-plus weeks, does not lead the country in rushing. Air Force is not the country's leader in rushing. It's the first time that's happened now in a couple of seasons. UCF, I believe, is right now the team that leads the country. So, I mean, that'll all shake out, right? But for the first time in a long time, Air Force is not the leading run. They rushed for over 350 yards. They did their thing, and in mop-up time, you know, kind of called off the dogs. But it was a good win. It was a costly win for Air Force. They lost their spur linebacker, one of the senior leaders, Camby Goff, left the game in the second half. He won't return for the rest of the year. So that's unfortunate for them. But Zach Larrier looked very good running the offense, looked good throwing the football, completed a couple of passes, including one for 84 yards for a touchdown. Much bigger test, though, here this weekend against Sam Houston State, who looked pretty good against BYU this last weekend. They went to Provo, and not many teams go into Provo and hold the Cougars to 14 points. That game was 7-0 after three quarters. So much better defense that Air Force will face here going down to Houston. They'll play them at NRG Stadium, where the Houston Texans play on Saturday night.
Yeah, this one does. I circled this one, Jesse. This should be a very interesting matchup early on, a very interesting test for Air Force going up against Sam Houston.
Yeah, and you look at what the Falcons have done defensively here in the last, let's call it, well, really 3 years, but they've been on another level in the last year and a half. They've allowed 10 points or less now in seven games dating back to last season. The only other teams that have been able to stake claim to that are Iowa, who runs their entire program off of defense because they can't score, and Georgia. I mean, you put yourself into those categories, pretty good. And a streak of, I believe, is 25 straight third downs that they had held teams conversion less was broken by Robert Morris in the third quarter. So it's a defense that just gets things done, a product of not having to be out on the field all that much because the Air Force will control the clock, but the players that they have will keep them in a lot of games. And I don't expect Sam Houston State's offense to be really, really good, so I don't know that they'll be completely tested, but they will certainly rise to the challenge once again. And you couple that with the way that the Falcons have run the ball and the way that Zach Larrier did run the ball this last week as the new quarterback for the Falcons, I think it'll be a successful trip down to Houston this weekend.
Yeah, another one to keep an eye on, Boise State and UCF. I know the Broncos looking to recover after, hey, listen, that Washington team, I mean, there's a few Pac-12 teams that I'm already thinking, man, in the year that the lost year or the forgotten year for the Pac-12, they might have four or five teams that could make a case to be in the the national championship game when it's all said and done. So the Broncos run into a buzzsaw there. They're looking to recover this weekend.
Yeah, don't think for a second that Washington team might not be a team that ultimately sneaks into a national championship picture and gets into a college football playoff. Michael Penix is as good as you're going to find as a quarterback. So now we can sit here and make excuses like, oh, geez, Colorado State, that was a heck of a team that they played. And Boise State, well, that was a heck of a team that they played with Washington. Eventually, you want to get over that hump, but in this case, that was a really, really good team. And this is a UCF team that comes in. This is probably low-key one of the better games in the country because of the fan bases. This has been a rivalry, a social media rivalry that has gotten real bitter between, you know, two of the darlings of the group of five for a long time, right? That kind of played back and forth as to who the better program was. So there's no love lost between these two teams, even though that UCF is part of the Big 12, and it's just the third time ever a Big 12 team has ever played at Albertson Stadium. This will be a fun one because these two fan bases have gotten after each other and will continue to get after one another for the balance of time. These two teams do not like each other, their fan bases. And let me correct something. UCF is the number one passing team in the country. It's the second straight week that the Broncos will be facing the number one passing team in the country. Washington was that last year, and now UCF with what they did last week against Kent State is the top passing team in the country. So the Broncos' defense is certainly going to be tested.
Well, we'll see if it can be a positive weekend for the Mountain West Conference. And we know CSU's off this week. Maybe a chance for them to lick their wounds before, they play some team in Boulder there, I guess. That's a pretty big story.
Never heard of them.
That'll be interesting. Jesse, before the season began, I was like, I think CSU's going to beat CU this year. I'm still not saying it's not possible. Let's talk after CU-Nebraska. And then maybe we have more of a clear picture.
Yeah, you and I think we're drinking out of the same Kool-Aid trough because there's a lot of things that we aligned with at the start of the year that they're kind of having to backpedal a little bit.
Yep.
It's what Colorado did was nothing short of amazing, and they deserve all the credit and all the accolades that they're getting right now. That team had a massive chip on their shoulder going to Fort Worth, a massive chip to prove that it wasn't all the talk. The challenge now clearly is going to be that chip's now off, right? Now there's all kinds of teams that believe. I'm interested to see how they play Nebraska. Do I think Colorado's going to win? Heck yeah. I mean, what they did down in Fort Worth speaks for itself. But now the challenge for, I think, that team is how do you continue to play the us against the world when clearly the world is all in on that program? And we'll see how that translates after two emotional get-up games. And then, you know, the Rams come in. Can they continue to rise to that? And, I mean, from what we saw on the field, I don't see that there's any reason they can't. But Colorado State, with a couple weeks to prepare, going to have to play the no one believes that you can get this done up there. They're going to have to play that reverse card. I look forward to it, but with a little more trepidation than I had maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Jesse, it only takes about week one for me to realize I don't know anything. So my goal is to make it to week two, but I never can seem to get there.
I'm right there with you, man.
Jesse, appreciate you, man. I love what you do. This is one of my favorite segments, talking Mountain West with you. So look forward to it next week.
Hey, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you then.
Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Yeah, I don't feel confident in my CSU takes at all right now. I mean, I don't feel confident. I feel scared. I feel like I'm out in the deep end of the ocean. Well, the deep end of the ocean is all pretty deep, isn't it, Angel? It's not like a pool. 39 minutes after the hour. Are we going to the bottom of the hour? We getting sports or are we?
I'll hit play next and we'll find out. It should be fine.
That was one of my favorite looks from, and that's the right look. It just
you
scared
have
me.
This routine. Okay, I hit this button, start the music, hit this button.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Gremlins.
And then it's when the sound starts going off that you know you're not supposed to be hearing, panic sets in.
Well, Tanner runs in here. He's like, because we're somebody's recording a podcast behind Angel. We got a podcast room over there. We're big time here. Yeah. And Tanner runs in and goes, the podcast is airing over the speakers in the station because we're so fancy here that the radio plays throughout
possible.
The building. I don't know. So I was freaked out.
I could do that.
So while he was freaking out about that, something happened on your end. And I'm like, oh, that's maybe those are correlating here or something. But and it's live radio, man. It happens sometimes, even to the to the perfectionists, to the pros here. So 41 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Are we doing Thursday Night Special next? That is for sure. Okay, we know that's coming. And good luck with whatever's coming up next. We'll be right back.
The next time you get angry over a bad play-by-play. Remember, you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn here today? Let's see. I feel like there are two coaches in the state of Colorado that can do nothing wrong. And that is Coach Prime, and that is Sean Payton. No matter what Sean Payton does, it is the Bible. He is the God. It is the gospel. And no matter what Primetime does, I guess depending on if you're not really a Buffs fan. If you're anti-Buffs fan, then he does everything wrong. If you are a Buffs fan or a bandwagon Buffs fan, Primetime can do no wrong. And that's where we are. Those two coaches, Sean Payton and Primetime, a lot of similarities. Angel, what did you learn today?
I learned that I can't always differentiate between Prime and Deion Sanders. And if that's my own fault, I'll admit it. But I often can't tell the difference, and I would like to be able to tell the difference because I may be a Buffs hater, but I do like what he is doing. I think it's different. I think it's a different way to approach the recruiting aspect of college football as it continues to change, but not to say that the old way doesn't work.
I can see confliction. You're a bit conflicted this last week seeing stuff, and that's okay. I'm the same way.
I mean, I'm learning. My opinions are changing a bit. The more I hear from them, I have a different perspective, but I mean, I have to like it. I'm not wearing black and gold all
I'm wearing black, but that's just because I like to wear black.
He's Batman.
Dixon says, pregame to the pregame starts in about an hour, baby.
Oh, boy.
Dixon happy I picked the
I think the pregame to the pregame pregame has already started.
Oh, if you're a Chiefs, my next-door neighbor right across the street, the fireworks guy,
oh,
Chiefs fan.
The UFC guy? Or
No. UFC guy's legit. He's cool. The guy that lit off fireworks like July 20th on Saturday at 10:30 at night, Chiefs fan. So, need I say more? But for one night and one night only, I'm rooting for the Chiefs because I root for my picks. Chiefs, -4.5. Now go on, everybody, and make yourself some money. Good night, Northern Colorado.